Together, we are running the race marked up for us as one, together. So, the Bible clearly shows the point number one, that you have a crowd of people cheering you on. And it says there in that verse, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Now, it's not on your screen, but the Message version puts it this way. All these pioneers who blazed their way, they are veterans and they are cheering us on. So think about it. Every Bible hero is cheering us on. Right from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses is cheering you on. Joshua is cheering you on. David's cheering you on. Samson is cheering you on. Ruth, Esther, Rahab is cheering you on. Peter, James, and John are cheering you on. Mary, Martha, Paul, Timothy, and on and on and on. All these heroes of Hebrews chapter 11, you can go into the, I think you had a picture. Just go back a bit. There's a picture. Here, this is, it's called the, Hebrews 11 is actually called the Hall of Faith. And it describes many of these people who ran the race before you. Well, Hebrews chapter 11 is all about examples of faith of people who ran the race before us and are now cheering us on. And they're saying, go, go, people of God. Go, church. You know, go, Yolanda. Go, Dave. Go, Tom. You know, go, Brent and Amy. Go, go. You know, go. Don't keep on. Loving God, keep on living, keep on running the race. From eternity, those who ran before us, they're cheering us on. Do you realize that? You're not alone in running this race. Second thing we realize is that God actually puts people in our lives to run this race together with us. So run with the person or the people that God puts beside you. Because you cannot run this race alone successfully. There's a race marked out for you, and there are people that God wants to put into your life and has put into your life for you to run this race. Mark chapter 6, verse 7 says, and he called his 12 disciples together and began sending them out two by two, giving them authority to cast out evil spirits. Jesus sent his disciples out in twos. Why did he do that? Why did he do that? Because he knew it wasn't going to be easy. He knew that they would face adversity and they would experience such rejection that at times they would just have to shake the dust off their feet. Everybody would reject them. Towns would reject them. Listen, he called them and he sent them out in pairs and in teams. Why? Because life is not easy on your own. Amen? It's hard to live life alone. In Acts chapter 13, verse 2, it says, one day as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them. So, after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. So, the apostles are fasting and praying, and Holy Spirit speaks, and he says, anoint Saul and Barnabas for this special work. And so, they laid their hands on them, and they sent them out. Now, you realize that they did not just go out on their own, but they were sent together. And now you know, and I think about people, you know, we've been in ministry a long time, and I think about people, you know, who helped us along the way. And I am so thankful for people that God sent us. You know, I'm thankful for Brent and Amy. Brent and Amy, great job and welcome this morning. You know, I'm thankful for them, for their partnership, their friendship. And you guys have been with us probably over 15 years or more, right? You know, I think of other people. I think of Rick and Donna Jansen. I mean, they've been our great friends, but not our friends of faith. They're our partners in ministry. At least 25 years, right? So many good people that God has sent us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Verse 8, Paul says, the one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own hard work. For we are both God's workers, and you are God's field, you are God's building. We're co-workers, co-laborers, God's workers, and God's field, right? Listen, alone, you can only do so much, you can only go so far, right? Alone, if you're trying to run this race alone, you will falter, you will flag, and you will fail. See, the danger is this. The danger is in not finishing the race marked out for us. And I see that dangerous situation that so many believers are, especially in the last couple of years, separated, alone, trying to run the race alone. They're in a dangerous place. You know, when I first came into the kingdom, and that was only, that seems like a long time ago, just a young guy, early 20s, and I remember I was an introvert and a loner. My life, I had very few friends. My life of relationship was very, very small. I had only like one or two friends, and those friendships were very shallow. And so when I came to Christ, God spoke to me. And God spoke to me. And you know, one of my childhood heroes was the Lone Ranger. And God spoke to me and says, Doug, don't be a Lone Ranger. Don't be a Lone Ranger. Take off your mask and be the person I've called you to be. Invite people into your life. It is dangerous. Yeah, thank you. It is dangerous to be a Lone Ranger. Don't be a Lone Ranger, because a Lone Ranger is a stranger in danger. God gave me that phrase. I've coined it ever since. But that is so true, isn't it? Listen, God never meant to run this race alone, did he? You know, God put people into our lives as individuals. God gave us each other, friends of faith. You know, as pastors for Karen and I, God gave us Pastor Mel and Heather Mullen. And they mentor us, they encourage us, and they spur us on, you know, to keep on running. And as a church, God gave us Home Church in Red Deer to run with us. And together, listen, together, we can go faster, farther than we could ever do on our own. Amen? So important. The people that you run with are the right people. And the Bible talks about running and being connected to the right people. It talks about not being unequally yoked. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? Obviously, right? Such a dramatic contrast. But listen. Listen to what the Amplified Version says. Do not make mismatched alliances with them, inconsistent with your faith. Now, can I tell you this? That not all Christians have the same standards and values that you may have, or what the Word of God says we should have. Some Christians live their Christian life by their own opinions and their feelings about how they feel about the commands of God. There are Christians today that do not believe that all the Bible is true. Some Christians today do not believe, some Christians today don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, we believe in all, you know, if you look at the book of Acts, I believe that everything that happened in the book of Acts, the church was able to do, and that God gave the church then, God has given to us. I believe that today we are to be filled with Holy Spirit. I believe today that we have the gift. We can have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We can have the gift of speaking in tongues, right? As an evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe in all of that. I believe in signs, wonders, and miracles. I believe that God can still heal. I believe that's for today. And I don't believe that ceased I don't believe it doesn't happen anymore. It does happen today. And I believe that we are heading into a movement when God is going to magnify that ability through His church. Amen? Get ready, because He's going to use you. So, I say, make sure that the people that you hang with most love Jesus as much as or more than you do. Amen? You know, I say sometimes you got to disconnect and you got to distance yourself from people who hold you back, who keep you from moving forward. And they can keep you from following Jesus avidly, passionately. So you've got to be very careful who you connect with on a regular basis. It's so important, because they can actually pull you away from Jesus and out of the race. And I see that a lot in boy-girl relationships, in male-female relationships, where maybe the girl will say, well, he's not a believer like I am, but, listen, don't be unequally yoked, right? Don't be unequally. Run with the people that God puts into your life. Number three, we run as a team. We run as one. We're one. We run as one. Where would it be one? Romans chapter 4, 12 verse 4. This is the Amplified version. It says, for just as in one physical body, we have many parts. And these parts do not all have the same function or special use. So we who are many are nevertheless just one body in Christ. And individually, we are parts of one another, mutually dependent on each other. So in other words, we were made for each other. We were put together by providence. We are here by providence together. God put us together. And together we form one body, the body of Christ. And together we run as one body. Arms, legs, you know, feet, nose, eyes, you know, ears, kidneys, liver, lungs, you know, all of us play a part. And we're like different parts of the body. We're all different, but we all have our part to play, and it's so important, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 12:22 says, in fact, some of the parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. So the parts not seen are often the most important parts. You think, well, I'm the pastor, I'm doing the most important part. Maybe that's not true. There are other people that you don't really see what they're doing, but they're playing very important parts as well, right? You play a very important part. And if you study the Bible, you read Acts chapter 2 and 4, and you'll see that happening, this dynamic of the early church, and they're running as one. Everybody was playing their part. They did what they could do. Everyone, all the needs were being met in that local church. And everybody was running, and the gospel was going forward in that church. You know, I think of the many people doing what they can, impact making in our church. I just mentioned, if you like, I think about John and Sandra, Dick. I mean, they're doing divorce care again this year. I say, way to go, John and Sandra. And they're changing many broken lives. You know, and they're impacting. They're making an impact. I think about, I think about Jason, the Knott family, Jason, Jody, and Jenna, you know, coming and, you know, helping in our worship along with Jessica Dudebay. Wow, thank you for taking hold of our worship. Where would we be without you, right? I think about John and Lena. They've kind of stepped into the EV team, and they're building a great team of people, you know, to help with the AV and the sound and everything that's so necessary for the message to get out. I could just go on. I think about, I met Seth Hisby in the foyer this morning. I think about, wow, it's so good to have the Hisbys. I mean, they're so generous. They're so good, and they serve in so many areas. I'm so thankful for them. I could just go on. I think about the Costers. I mean, how long have they been with us, right? And they're incredible kids, and their love and their support. And listen, I could just go on and on and on, but we all play our part in running as one body. The Apostle Paul, what a tremendous example. I want to tell you, Paul had many, many, many companions, co-laborers in Christ, that he ran with. And he lists some of them in his letters, especially in Romans chapter 16, where he talks about greeting all these different people. And here, I'm gonna go through his list here and see if you recognize any of these names. Here's what Paul said. He said, greet these people. Greet Aquila, Priscilla, Epaphras, Mary, Andronicus, Junius, Amphiaetus, Urbanus, Stasius, Apelles, Aristobulus, Herodian, Narcissus, Tryphena, Tryphosa. Don't you like that name? Tryphena, name that. Some, you know, you parents, you should name your kids that. If you have twins, right? Tryphena, Tryphosa, Persis, Rufus, Asyncritus, Phlegon, maybe not that name, Hermas, Petrobus, Hermas, Julia, Nereus, Olympus. That was 27 people. 27 people right there. But he goes on in other letters. He mentions people like Barnabas, Timothy, Lois, Eunice, Silas, Mark, Demas, Achaeus, Cephas, Clement, Gaius, Lydia, Onesimus, Eubulus, Erastus, Trophimus, Pudens, Linus, Claudia, Apphia, Nympha, Archippus, Aristarchus, Justus, Epaphras, Luke, Peter, Philemon, Timothy, Titus, Apollos, James, John, and many, many more. All fellow soldiers, all fellow slaves, all fellow prisoners of Christ, co-laborers, co-workers, and friends of faith. The greatest friendships are friendships that are built on a purpose, especially God's purpose. Every single one of these people was important to Paul in running the race together. See, you can read some of these Paul's letters and think, maybe he's kind of running alone, but there's no way. He was running with many. So listen, I want to tell you this, that your gift is not insignificant. That you are needed. That your gift is needed, right? So do you hear the call? You need to run. And do you hear the need and the call to run? Holy Spirit's trying to tell you, get in the race, get on the team, and run. It's time to run together. More and more, as we move into the season, into the new season, there's going to be a need for more workers, more helpers, more people running together in unity for the purpose of God through His house. Amen? And we've got to hear the call. It's time to reach our city. It's time to reach the region. It's time to run together. I want to remind you, point number four, that Holy Spirit is running with you. Holy Spirit is with us. And Jesus told His disciples, He tells us today in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power, power when Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, to the ends of the earth. So the Holy Spirit was first given to 120 people praying in the upper room. But by the time you hit, that was in Acts chapter 2, there are 3,000 people added to the church. By the time you hit Acts chapter 4, it's gone up to 5,000 people. See, it's amazing. And today, what's happening in our church today? The church is alive and it's going around the world because of the power and the presence of Holy Spirit in His church. Take Holy Spirit church out of the church, all you got is a dead, dry, religious place. It's Holy Spirit. His presence, His power, His anointing, you know, His manifestations and His revelations. That's what makes... He's Jesus, right? In the Spirit, coming to build His church through you and I. So important we recognize Holy Spirit. We are all running together. Worldwide, all these believers, we're running for the greatest purpose on earth called the Great Commission. The whole purpose of this series is to get you to recognize that you were created for this. You were created to overcome all the challenges of life. Amen? You were called and created to love God and to move forward in your life into the very purpose for God, for which God has called you. Amen? And I believe that we can overcome every challenge that comes before us if we're running as one. If we are one in heart, in mind, in spirit, and in purpose, there's nothing that we cannot do through God. We can do anything through Christ. Amen? We are a powerful, powerful entity when we're together. together. We love each other. We care for each other. We pray for each other. We protect each other. We support each other. We strengthen each other. And as a result, we grow, we progress, and we move forward into the great purpose of God for our lives and us for as a church. One more point, and I'm done. It's a quick message. Number 5. Run for what matters the most. Run for what matters the most. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Now today we have the Olympic Games, which actually originated from the original Greek games called the Isthmian Games. Now in that contest, in those runs, listen, there was only one prize. There was no silver. There was no bronze. There was only the first place. At least we call it gold today. He says, don't run for silver. Don't run for gold. Don't run for good. Don't run for better. Run for the best prize that you can get. And that's the gold. Run in such a way to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. I'm talking about crowns. I'm talking about rewards again. We do it to get a crown that will last forever. So he says, therefore I do not run like someone running aimlessly. He says, I don't just live my life and say, well, okay, sera, sera. No, I've got focus. I know the path I'm supposed to take. And I'm on my course and I'm running. He said, I don't run aimlessly. He said, I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. I'm not wasting my efforts on stuff that doesn't matter. He says, no, I strike a blow to my body. And he says, I make it my slave. So that after I have what? Preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. And Paul says, run for what's most important. Run for the prize. Run for the crown, for the eternal prize that's waiting for you. Now, some people are running after careers. No, they're climbing the ladder. Some people are running after fame. It's all about themselves. Some people run after everything this world offers. Money, fame, sex, comfort. And listen, Paul's saying all these things, they're just dust. And all these things, new car, new sofa, you know, house, all these things will literally become worthless in this time, right? So what he's trying to say is run for eternal things, for the crown. Run for the crown that lasts forever. Jesus wore a crown of thorns. Jesus wore a crown of thorns. And this crown was a crown of suffering, of mockery, and it was a crown that represented our sin. And Jesus wore a crown, this crown, so that you and I, we could wear our crown. The crown he talks about here in the Word of God. So the question is, what is this crown? What is this crown? Why is it so doggone valuable, so important that it's worth everything, giving up everything to go after? Everything this world could ever offer you. I mean, even winning Lotto 649 is nothing compared to this incredible crown. Why is that? Why is it? What is it about this crown? Let me tell you about this crown. You know why it's so valuable, so invaluable, so precious, so worth giving up your life for? Here's why. Because it's the crown of life. It's the crown of life. It's for those who endure testing and temptation and they remain faithful to God, to Christ. You know what else it is? It's the incorruptible crown. That means it's indestructible. You know what? And it's waiting there for you in heaven. Nobody can take it away from you. It's there, guaranteed. Keep on following Jesus. Amen? And isn't it what else it is? It's the crown of righteousness. For those who are made right with God through believing in His Son, Jesus Christ, and a hope That's you. And no, it's more than that. It's the crown of glory for those who live their life. It's a crown of glory for those who live their life to serve other people and not just themselves. Care for other people. Serve other people. And not only that, it's the crown of rejoicing. It's the crown of joy and the reward of standing before Christ on the judgment day to hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Wow. I tell you, the way that you will feel, your heart's going to melt on that day when you stand before Him. And I'm looking forward to that day. I want to emphasize, the only thing you will take to heaven is people. The people that you bring to peace with Jesus. Amen? That's the only thing. Philippians chapter 4, verse 1, Paul said, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stay true to the Lord." Stay true. I love you, and I long to see you, dear friends, for you are my joy and the crown I receive for my work. So like Paul said, you're my crown, you and the people I brought to Christ. Amen? So keep running. Keep praying for your neighbors to come to Christ. Keep running. Keep setting that example so that your kids will serve Jesus. Your family will serve Jesus. Keep on running. Keep on running for your neighbors. Keep on running for those people that are in your workplace. Keep on running for our city. Keep on running for the region. Keep on running for the world to come to Christ. The Holy Spirit is saying, do you feel the presence of the Holy Spirit here right now? I believe the Holy Spirit is asking you, what are you running for? Is what you're running for really, does it really matter? Right? What are you running for? Are you overcoming the challenges in your life so that you can live for what really matters in this life? And I believe those are very important questions that we need to ask ourselves. And I hope that you and I could say what Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, 6. "As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of His return." And this prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to His appearing. Saints, let's run as one for what matters the most. Amen? Amen. I'm going to finish off. Here's a picture. I don't know if you recognize these two guys, but this is father and son. They're called the Hoyt team. The father is Rick Hoyt. He turned 80 last year, and he passed away in 2021. His son, I'm not quite sure he's old. He's probably in his later 30s now. But it's a great story. Now, Rick was born a paraplegic. He couldn't walk. He was also born mute as well. So here's their story. Okay, so we got a video. Let's watch this. Isn't that great? Together as power. 32 Boston marathons. They ran 32 Boston marathons. They ran triathlons. It's amazing what they've done together. Right? So there was a comment, and it's on your screen. This is Rick made a comment, the son. He said, when my dad and I are out there on a run, a special bond forms between us. And Rick told the New York Times in 2009, with the help of his computer voice program, and it feels like there is nothing Dad and I cannot do. Isn't that powerful? Oh, thank you, Lord. There's nothing that you and God and us together cannot do. So don't run alone. Amen? Amen. Bow your heads. Thank you, Father. Father, thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you, Father. Lord Jesus, I pray that we may truly understand that we are fearfully and wonderfully created for a purpose here on this planet. That we are so much big, no, it's so much more about just us. That we are a part of something so much bigger than ourselves. So much stronger than ourselves. We're a part of your church. That Jesus said, the gates of hell will not overcome. May we truly understand that together we can overcome every challenge this world, the enemy throws against us. Help us to understand that we are to run as one, this race marked up for us, and to know that if God is for us, who can be against us? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Will just keep your heads bowed. You know, maybe you're here today, or maybe you're watching online today, and you need a life change. I want to tell you, Jesus is the life changer. And he gave you his life so that you could have his life. He lived a perfect life. He lived and he suffered a horrible death in your place so that you could live clean, you could live free, and you could have a new start altogether in your life. Amen? So if that's you, you've never received this life-changing Jesus into your heart and into your life, this is your day, this is your opportunity. All you have to do is sincerely by faith, just say this prayer, really mean it, and you will experience what the Bible says. You become born again. Brand new experience, born of the Spirit, born of God, child of God. And he'll give you a purpose and a reason to live for. Amen? So if that's you, you bow your heads, close your eyes. Say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins, to pay for all my sins, every one of my sins. Today and now, Lord, I invite you into my heart to be Lord and Savior of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for the gift of salvation and eternal life and an abundant life with you as my God, my Father. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen.